It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello everyone, welcome to my show. This is your host Tristan Pang on Planet FM 104.6, Youth Voices. Great to have your company here today. Today's feature guest is Tanya Evans.
Let's talk.
Tanya Evans has completed a PhD in pure mathematics, specialising in low-dimensional topology and geometry at Rice University. Tanya is from St. Petersburg, Russia. Now, Tanya is a lecturer in the University of Auckland Maths Department researching on maths education. Her research interests include the design of new modes of delivery in higher education, utilising affordances of technological advances, for example, blended learning. She is currently involved in teaching and coordinating the largest Stage 2 service course offered by the department. We will now continue our talk with Tanya. You've done a lot of outreach, so promoting maths to the wider community. One such thing is the Maths Craft Festival, promoting maths and craft and their relationship to the public. So what do you think is the beauty of maths craft, and what's your favourite thing to make in maths craft?
Yeah, so maths crafts, I got involved because I was asked to do that. I think it was a very good initiative, especially the one that we had at the museum, at the Auckland Museum, with 3,000 people through the weekend. That was just amazing. I think that people don't often know about it. They don't understand the relation of mathematics to objects such as origami, and there's a lot of mathematics in it, and I guess at the first glance you can notice it in symmetry. So whereas anywhere where there is symmetry, there's mathematics. And as a human being, we somehow evolutionarily like symmetry. There's some research to say that we like symmetric faces. We prefer symmetric faces in people to asymmetric faces. There is some sort of a code in us that perceive symmetry as beauty, and yeah, so beauty in mathematics, and I think it comes from that perception of symmetry. Yeah,
that's very cool. How about, what's your favorite hobby to do? So outside maths and stuff like that, what do you like to do?
I quite like sports. I think that the message that Auckland Uni Recreation Center puts out, what do they say? Active body equals focused mind. I live by this. I think this is so true for me. Without sports, without exercises, I think I function in a less efficient way. And so my hobby has become recently, as I became a group fitness instructor. So specifically spin instructor. So spin instructor is an indoor cycling instruction. And it's a group of people get together in a room, get on the stationary bikes, and we cycle for 30 or 45 minutes with music on, with disco lights on and lights off. And it's all a very interesting atmosphere, all for the purpose of having a lot of exercise in a fun way and encouraging each other to do our best.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so that's my hobby at the moment.
And finally, can you tell us three people who have influenced you so our young listeners can learn from them and why?
Yes, it wasn't easy for me to think of three people straight up, and I had a think really when going back to my childhood, who were the inspirational people to me. And I think the very first one was Dmitry Mendeleev, who is a Russian chemist. And he was born in 1834. And his achievement is astonishing to me, to understand that he was born in a small village in Siberia, in the middle of nowhere. And he had this amazing drive for knowledge that was unstoppable. And what he's gone through after the death of his father, and his mother is trying to support his entire family, working really hard. And yet, somehow he managed to convince his mother at the age of 13 to take him to better places where he would have access to knowledge. There was no internet back then.
Yeah.
So the only way to acquire knowledge was to move to a bigger place. And he traveled from Siberia all the way to St. Petersburg at the early age of 13. Because he knew he needs to do it. He knew he needed to know more and learn more because he knew that he can contribute. And he did. He was the creator of the periodic table.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. And the other one is Sergei Korolev. And he's an amazing person because he is the mastermind of USSR space program. And if you read his biography, it's astonishing what he's gone through. My take on it is he spent some time in prison before all of this for the crimes that are now or would not be considered crimes. He was just, you know, during the Stalin time, he was basically an educated individual, and this freedom of choice, freedom of speech was not there, and some people thought that he perhaps is too smart and too dangerous. So he was put in prison for many years. And after that, he was released after that. He was working for the government, but it was, he always felt the pressure of delivering, and he whatever he produced was almost done as he's like still in prison, I think. That's how I read it, and the conditions he was working and his surrounding, you know. But nevertheless, he was driven by his passion to creation of this new thing, and that's all that mattered to him. And that was amazing.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And now, can you share with us something that you've heard or read that really inspired you?
Heard or read? Not recently. Then, the news around the world that are coming at us recently are not along the lines of inspirational, with Brexit and Trump. And, you know, it's just Putin, you name it, right? I don't know what's inspirational at the moment. It's hard to tell. Maybe something along the lines of creation of renewable energy, solar energy. Maybe I am hoping that people will have a breakthrough and innovation in terms of how we can create very clean, very green energy and somehow stop polluting the world. And I'm hoping.
Thanks, Tanya, for sharing so many things with us. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Wow, so inspiring and cool. So I just interviewed Tanya. And actually, Tanya interviewed our homegrown field medalist, Sir Vaughan Jones, in 2016. Vaughan is the only current Kiwi field medalist, and he was awarded this in 1990. It was for his work on knot polynomials and the subsequent Jones polynomials. The field medal is considered the Nobel Prize of Mathematics and is one of the highest awards in maths. I talked to Vaughan through email, and we are actually going to meet this December when he comes to New Zealand. Can't wait. Anyways, here we go.
Let's talk again back to your time at the University of Auckland when you were an undergraduate majoring in physics and mathematics, double major. Can you describe those years, how you remember them as your development?
I wasn't the model student, shall we say. I did have at least one year they were sort of went off the rails, but my career was not, I didn't get A's in everything. Ultimately, that turned out to be one of the most amusing things about my entire career, which is that I was in a year cohort of students who were really quite exceptional, and so my couple of non-A grades made my record sort of not look all that spectacular compared with some of my fellow students. So when it came to scholarship time, you know, to go on overseas, there was the other guys had taken all of the things, and there was essentially nothing left for me, so it looked like that my career was over at the end of my undergraduate studies, or at least my master's. But fortunately, there was a guy in the department, you know him, Paul Hefner.
Yes.
And he knew about a Swiss government scholarship to for students from, specifically from New Zealand, and another one for Australia. And I had, for a couple of other reasons, I was kind of interested in going to Geneva. There was a guy there that was doing mathematical foundations of quantum mechanics, and I'd read his book, and I was kind of interested in studying with him. And Paul told me about the scholarship, so I applied for that. And they were delighted because they never got anyone applying from sciences before. And so I got that, and I went to Switzerland. And, you know, my career sort of blossomed from there, I'd say.
It's really incredible, isn't it? It's just, you know, who do you talk to?
Yeah, right. So, you know, it's opportunity. I can't say how grateful I am to Paul for that. You know, without his intervention at that stage, as I said, my career might have been over. I was also playing rugby reasonably well. So
while you were at uni?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
But it's still true that when I went to Geneva from Auckland, I was began in the physics department doing my PhD, so it's always been very close in between the two, physics and maths. Mm-hmm. The actual path, well, I was good at it and I enjoyed it, and eventually people started to pay me to do it, so that's sort of how it happened.
How do you do mathematical research? I mean, what do you actually do? Do you sit down, you scratch your head? Do you go through sort of aha moments? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a big mixture of hard work. You know, you have something that you think is true, and you want to prove it, figure out whether it is, or find a counterexample, and you know, and you can get really, really stuck. I mean, I know that in my, for instance, in this work, this index for subfactors work, I think I spent at least 80% of my time in that. At least 80% trying to prove something that I thought was true and turned out to be wrong. The final breakthrough on that was that what I was trying to do was actually completely and utterly wrong. The truth was the opposite of it, and that was the hard thing, because you're trying to prove something and you try all kinds of methods, but you're sort of going in the wrong direction. The actual truth is over here, and you only get sort of forced over into that corner after a long time and a lot of hard work
and perseverance, no doubt.
Yeah. And then there's the other thing where you do have these aha moments. With the knot polynomial, it was exactly like this. I've been thinking about it for about 3 years, and I met up with Joan Berman, who was a knot theory braid person in New York, and a long discussion with her, and it was pretty depressing because it didn't seem like anything that I had done was actually going to be any use for anything. And then but she told me a lot of things, and one of those things just kept, you know, nagging away at my brain. And then about a week afterwards, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my God, that's all I have to do. I was trying to do something much harder. And so I went downstairs, did a few calculations, and
In the middle of the night,
yeah. And then I went back to sleep. And because, of course, you have to be aware, as I'm sure you are, that most of the time when you get a great idea right before you go to sleep, you wake up in the morning and it's wrong. But this is one, the rare occasion it was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, incredible feeling, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was. It was a big high. Yeah. Mm.
So that's it from me, Tristan Peng. Thank you for listening. I welcome your feedback and the support of the program, so please email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com or visit my website, www.questisfun.org.nz. That's quest-is-fun.org.nz/youthvoices. See you next month. Bye.
join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices.